Blog Talk Radio.
Show coming to you live from the D.C. Baltimore area. I hope you guys are doing well and that you're having a great night wherever you are. Sit back and relax. Tonight, I want to talk about the role of culture in gospel communication. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit about tonight. But before we even get there, what I want to do is we're going to go to the song. Yeah, I'm going to come back to this topic. We're going to talk about the role of culture and gospel communication. I'm going to get things started right now with Are You Listening by Kirk Franklin.
I was hungry, you fed me. Naked, you clothed me. They will know us by our love.
Can't imagine how it felt as you lay there. Through the dark, through the heat, through the cold. With your friend by your side, held his hand and watched him die. And you cried as you prayed for his soul.
I can't imagine how it felt as you stood there. Through the winds that would just not go away. Kiss my wife, tell my son, my work on earth is done. The one that can still hear them say, oh.
Is there anybody out there listening? And does anybody know my name? No, my friend, we were not there, but we're here and we care. And yes, we feel your pain.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, we feel your pain.
Can't imagine how you felt as you sat there, trying to hide the fear upon your face.
And now the earth begins to cry, and you ask the preacher why. Tonight we can hear the children say, yeah. Hear them say.
Is there anybody out there listening?
Anybody?
Pain.
we hear you.
Oh my, oh my.
See you.
He's got the whole world in his hands. Oh.
He's got the whole world.
You and me, sir. You and me, brother. My, my.
Hope you guys are doing well. I just want to give a shout out to one of my good friends, like a mentor, big brother, Robert Wesley Branch of the Robert Wesley Branch Show, chilling in the chat room. So I'm so glad to have him here hanging out with me today. But tonight I want to talk about the role of culture in gospel communication, the role of culture in gospel communication. Does it play a role? Does it matter if your culture is African-American? Does it matter if your culture is a different culture, if it's Hispanic? What role does that play in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, what I would like to do tonight is just share a little bit from my perspective. You know, I had to do a research paper on this particular subject, which I'm going to discuss tonight. So this is coming from my perspective, G. Rice's perspective, with the use of other types of you know, things such as books, seminars, things like that. You know, so I had, you know, my research and everything, my references and things like that, which I'll discuss later on in the show. But culture plays a significant role in gospel communication. Its role is significant because it does the following things: acts as a vehicle that affects how the gospel is communicated, affects how people respond to biblical principles, and affects how we as Christians view other culturally different people in regards to communicating the gospel. Now, before I delve into the role of culture, it is important to understand the definition of culture. By definition, quote unquote, culture is a people's way of life, their design or structure for living, their way of coping with their biological, physical, and social environments. In other words, culture is the collection of ideas, beliefs, values, and opinions that are ingrained in an individual based on their ethnic background. With this in mind, culture determines how people relate to each other, shapes the individual's worldview, and defines the individual. Now, we talk about worldview. If you were with us last week, and I was explaining to you that worldview is the way you see the world, your set of lenses by which you see the world and the world around you. You know, if you're an African-American male, your worldview is going to be different. Let's say if you're an African-American male who grew up in an urban society. In lower middle class, your worldview is going to be quite different from someone who happens to be Caucasian, who lives in a trailer. You know, different worldview. Different things are going to happen. If you're African American, you're going to see things different. You're going to see law enforcement. You're going to view law enforcement probably differently than other people. So that's, we're talking about individuals' worldview. And as far as culture shaping an individual's worldview, we're talking about culture shaping how you view elements in your area, in your world, your society. You know, that's worldview. Now, each ethnic group has its own way of communicating with each other and views the world through different lenses. Even before communication of the gospel can take place, one must understand that culture and its presuppositions, and based on those presuppositions, know how to effectively and properly reach them. There's certain things that you need to know. If you're not African American, and before you try to even share the gospel with someone who is of a different race, period, whether you're African American or Hispanic or whatever, you have to understand that culture. You have to understand. You know, most people aren't going to even listen to you talk or discuss about the gospel if you're not even understanding or being sensitive to their culture. There's certain things that goes on with that. Excuse me, because you cannot effectively and properly reach someone if you don't understand their worldview and where they're coming from. Now, an example of this can be seen in the cultural ethos of Latin America, where the culture is heavily into spiritualism. Some 35% of Brazilians are active spiritists, and partial practitioners raise that population to 60%. Catholic and evangelical missionaries understand this concept about the Latin American culture, but have different techniques on how to reach them. The Catholics historically have accommodated to prevailing cultural norms so that popular theology reinforces traditional culture, whereas evangelicals stress conversion, a change from darkness to light, and pray to God to cast out evil spirits. You know, maybe let me say it again. The Catholics historically have accommodated to prevailing cultural norms so that popular theology reinforces traditional culture. In other words, you know, they've gone to these places where people are active spiritists and partial practitioners. And what they basically have done is they've said, you know, okay, we're going to not necessarily accommodate. You know what accommodate means, to try to work with what their beliefs, are. So that popular theology, whatever is popular there, reinforces traditional culture. Now, evangelicals stress conversion, a change from darkness to light, and pray to God to cast out evil spirits. Are you guys staying with me today? Are you with me? I hope it's not too much tonight, but you know, I think that we do need to understand about culture and what role culture plays in spreading the gospel, you know, because culture also shapes the individual's worldview, which is the most fertile soil in a people's culture. Your individual worldview is so important. And more than anything else, a culture's worldview is at its core, and it's primarily focused with the great ultimate questions of reality. Questions which are seldom asked, but to which culture provides its most important answers. This worldview affects and influences people's beliefs, values, and even behavior. According to Charles H. Craft, worldview is the deep level of culture that influences how a people perceive and respond to reality. Again, worldview is the deep level of culture that influences how a people perceive and respond to reality. My culture, my worldview lies, in other words, like basically, like, you know, where I'm an African American. G. Wright is an African American, if you're listening. And in my culture, worldview, how I view the world, is at the root of that culture. And how, of my culture, and it dictates and influences how I view the world from the lenses of an African American. not even just an African American, but also an African American male. You see, the individual is defined by his or her culture. It is important to note that even before the gospel can be communicated, we must remember that culture has no power in and of itself. The individual is just driven by habits, and habits can be changed with time and patience. As an African-American male, my culture attempts to define who I am. However, my worldview has changed to a Christ-centered worldview that recognizes that we are all beautifully created and designed with a purpose and saved by the blood of the Lamb. You see, your worldview, no matter what your nationality is, says something about who you are. And it says something about who other people are. Even those who are different from us, those who are who live differently than us, our culture dictates and influences a lot of what we believe, what we don't believe. But the thing about it, as Christians, we should pray for a Christ-centered worldview that recognizes that we are all beautifully created and designed with a purpose and saved by the blood of the Lamb. In Genesis chapter 1, when we're discussing, when God was, the Trinity was discussing, saying, look, as far as making man in his image, he saw that it was good. So we have to see this even before spreading the gospel. So you might be wondering, what is gospel communication? Gospel communication is the various methods that may be used or employed in the dissemination of the gospel and the spreading of the gospel, such as evangelism, preaching, church planting, ministering in song, etc. Jesus taught us how to communicate the gospel. His life on earth is the most effective representation of communicating the gospel. He is the best example of how to reach people, period. Since Jesus understood that God created and blessed each culture with diverse worldviews, he delicately planted seeds that touched, changed, and challenged people at the core of their belief system. He also taught us how to respect culture and its incorporated worldview, especially when ministering the gospel, and not to attempt to tear them away from it. Therefore, if the gospel seed is planted in a people's culture, that seed has the possibility of affecting and influencing their reality, their beliefs, and behavior. You see, the role of culture in gospel communication is important, because culture is a vehicle or system that affects how the gospel is communicated. There are presuppositions that each culture holds to be true. We must do the following: understand their cultural barrier or barriers and work to build a bridge over and around that barrier or barriers. Remain culturally sensitive as to not offend them before we can even communicate the gospel message, and understand their traditions and what they mean to that particular culture. I hope you guys are staying with me. I hope it's not too much tonight. I just wanted to talk about the role of culture, because if you have a desire to share with people, you have to understand where they're coming from. Even before you can go to them, you have to understand where they're coming from. You have to understand their background. You have to understand how they as a culture celebrate life. How do they praise God? You know, if you're of a different ethnic race and you go to an African American community, you will understand that African Americans, we like rhythm. You know, we love rhythm. We love to praise God and to have a great time. So guess what? If you were to go to an area that is filled with, as heavily populated by African Americans, you're not going to necessarily try to change the way they praise and celebrate God. you're going to understand that this is how they praise God. This is how they praise. Some people cry. Some people holler and scream and jump up and down. You know, but the whole thing is understanding the role of culture and being sensitive to the role of culture in gospel communication. I'm going to go to this next song, and we're going to be right back. We're going to this song. This song is entitled, The Battle Is Not Over. The Battle Is Over, I'm sorry. The Battle Is Over by Noel Five.
If I'd only believe, he would open.
You guys are listening to the Higher Love Radio Show. Noel 5, my uncle Leon Edwards produced that CD, he and my aunt. And so I hope you guys enjoyed that. You know, yeah, I'm having a good time having a good conversation with Robert Wesley of the Robert Wesley Brand Show. And he did say this, that the good news is that when you reach other cultures with the actual words of Jesus in red, many of those concepts, ideas, parables are universal principles. And that's so true. It's just the whole things. And he did say, I will say this, the more complex theological doctrines do take more culturally specific insight to get over sometimes. Yeah, most definitely. And then what happens is that when you go into, some people try to go in and change cultures. You know, I'm not going to go to a Hispanic culture and try to make them worship, even though their worship style might be similar to African-Americans, I'm not going to go there and take and say, okay, you know what, you love the Lord and we're presenting the gospel now. You can't praise God with the samba. You can't praise God the way your culture dances before God. You know, you have to do it this way. You have to do it that way. And that's not necessarily the case of how it should be. But the role of culture does play a role in how you communicate the gospel, how you get Jesus' message, as Robert Wesley Brand said, in red. How do you translate that and get them to understand that? You know, but first we must understand the cultural barriers and work to build a bridge over and around that barrier. You know, listen to this. Language, practices, daily lifestyles, work ethics, and beliefs are only examples of cultural barriers that could possibly stand in the way of effectively communicating the gospel. What are some other ways you might think, some other things that might be a bridge or barrier in effectively communicating the gospel? The number here is 646-595-4311, 646-595-4311. Oh, yeah, I like that, Robert. Robert wrote, religious rituals are sometimes based on culture. That's true. That's so true. One of the things I have learned after reading the Willow Bank, I read this article, you guys, called The Willow Bank Report, Consultation on Gospel and Culture. The Willow Bank Report, Consultation on Gospel and Culture, is that every communication has both a meaning and a form, which in turn can positively or negatively affect our witness. You know, guys, there's certain things we've just got to understand before we go into any culture trying to, you know, spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's things that we have to understand about that culture. You just can't go certain things are not to be said, and they might be said, it might be different for one culture. The way you talk with an African American might be different from the way you talk to an African. There are certain things that might mean something in your culture, but it might mean something else entirely different in another person's culture. You don't want to offend someone before you can even try to even share the gospel. But so those things that we do have to take into consideration. You know, I agree with that. You know, I think the biggest thing, you know, Robert said many Christians aren't good listeners. Yeah. And I'm not going to say even just Christians. I'll say I just say people. Yeah, I agree with you. You have to listen. This is what Robert's saying in chat room. You have to listen actively and deeply for someone's needs and minister to their needs. Yeah, most definitely. You know, my present gospel tour is a prime example of understanding the cultural barriers. You know, when I was in Japan, this is where I was in Japan when I wrote this, and I wrote this. Here in Japan, I can barely communicate with non-English speaking people. Sometimes I have to use hand signals and point to try to convey what is on my mind, to which they will respond with a thumbs up to signify that they understand. They also even give me the Japanese word that means what I am trying to say and help me pronounce the word correctly. Like any Christian in a foreign land, I humbly put my new word in my data bank and write it down. Even more so, I understand and was quickly informed that there are some hand signals that are offensive to Japanese people, and once they are offended, it is hard to win them back. Cultural misinterpretation. You know, there are some hand signals that, you know how we do, guys. You know how we communicate with each other. If you're African American or if you're just an American, you know how we communicate. We throw up hand signals. And certain hand signals are offensive to Japanese. They don't mean the exact same thing that they mean to us. So if I walk up to a Japanese person, they understand peace. They understand the peace sign, putting both fingers up saying peace. They understand that. But some signs, they're offensive. And I learned that myself. Now, I had to watch this movie called The Peace Child. The Peace Child. Now, they did exactly what you were talking about, Robert Wesley, in his movie. These missionaries, Don and Carol Richardson, they were discussed in this short film called The Peace Child, where they had to actively and deeply listen for the people's needs and then minister to those needs. You see, these excellent missionaries understood the cultural barriers, worked hard to learn from the Sawi people, Sawi, S-A-W-I, people, and built a bridge to reach them. They saw the needs of the people and offered to help. For example, when they traded tools, the steel axes, with them in lieu of building a house. They also embraced the Sawi culture, and people were willing to learn the Sawi language from Isai, the guy's name was Isai, and to learn about their culture instead of imposing their way of life on them. Again, let me say it again. These missionaries, they embraced this different culture and the people, and they were willing to learn their language, to learn about their culture, instead of just going in and saying, this is the way we do things. You know, we want to bring you to Jesus Christ, but you got to do it the way we do it. No, they had their way of doing, their way of living their life, which was indicative of their culture. And they were willing to learn. And then once they were willing to learn, they're willing to listen. And after they're willing to learn, then they were able to minister to their needs. All this took patience. Patience to believe that God will give the opportunity to communicate the gospel in that new culture. Second, we must remain culturally sensitive as to not offend them before we can even communicate the gospel message. All of this may sound similar to understanding their cultural barriers. It goes even more so into the application of how to react to the barriers that are in place. We must respect their culture, understand that God created their culture as well as our culture. We must respect their culture and understand that God created their culture as well as our culture. Let me say it again. We must respect their culture. We must respect other people's culture and understand that God created their culture as well as our culture. Furthermore, we must remember that we are all created in the divine image of God. It is sad to say that when we see others living according to cultural patterns and with worldview assumptions different from our own, we often feel sorry for them as if their ways are inferior to ours, which might cause us to try to save them from their customs. Then problems arise when we disregard either of the two interrelated expressions of their divine image, which are their relational character, irreverence to God, and respect for other people, their cultural character. Their call to organize their lives in order to creatively care of all forms of life. But regardless of how we feel, we must be sensitive to their feelings. And Jesus is the best example of how to be culturally sensitive to those who are different. He's a cross-cultural servant. In other words, he served people of other ethnicities. He is cross-cultural, which should become a part of our DNA. If we are to follow in the steps of Jesus, we must also look at their culture and worldview biblically and accept them for who they are first before we can even proclaim the gospel. We have to accept them for who they are first before we can even proclaim the gospel. In Duane Elmer's book, Cross-Cultural Servanthood, Serving the World in Christ-like Humility, he discusses how the cross-cultural servant is one who serves by being a good listener. Exactly what you said. You were right on the head with this one, Robert. One who serves by being a good listener, willing to learn about, from, and with the local authorities in that particular culture without deviating from biblical core principles, is one who understands that godly exercise of power always elevates the body of Christ or the local community, and is one who realizes the importance of trusting in God and that God is still in control even when things appear to be foggy. Furthermore, cross-cultural servant recognizes that each person is created in God's image, as I said before, and with this in mind, respectfully and openly serve others within the context of the different culture, becoming Christ in the flesh, incarnation. In other words, becoming Christ in the flesh. We're representing Jesus to everyone in spite of cultural differences. Third, we must understand that their tradition and what they mean to that particular culture. Jesus never tried to wrestle people away from their culture. He understood the essence and beauty of their culture. Likewise, when Paul represented the gospel, he presented the gospel in a way that brought them to God, impacted and changed their worldview, encouraged them to live for God and uphold biblical truths, while at the same time maintaining the traditions and customs that make their culture unique. I hope you guys are staying with me today. I hope you guys are with me and understand what we're talking about here. You are listening to the Heart of Love Radio Show, and this right now is Myron Butler and Levi, Greatest Love, and I'll be right back.
Searching for, looking for, but never finding, until I realized that you and you alone are the greatest love.
I'll never know. love for me. The greatest that I've ever known, the most consistent I've ever known, the most faithful I've ever known. You are the most that I've ever known. Lord, you are the truest. Lord, you are. I confess today that you and you alone are the most ever known, ever known. Lord, you are the greatest love, love I've ever known, ever known, ever known.
And I appreciate you guys for staying with me. And if you're following along with me tonight, we're talking about the role of culture in gospel communication. One of the points that stood out to me was this point where I had said that Jesus never tried to wrestle people away from their culture. When Jesus touched people, he touched people where they were. But he wasn't trying to get rid of their culture. Their culture was still their culture. Your culture was still their culture. And this third point is an imperative. The third point that I discussed before the break, when I was talking about we must understand their traditions and what they mean to that particular culture. The gospel cannot be effectively communicated to and within a culture without understanding their traditions. For example, America is one nation that is composed of many different cultures and subcultures. For the Jewish Americans, we would have to understand how they traditionally view and memorialize their loved ones who died in the Holocaust before we could present the gospel to them. For African Americans, we would have to understand the traditions that normally take place during the month of February in observance of Black History Month and the pioneers who fought against slavery. For Native Americans, we would have to understand that their traditions and customs mean to them as well before we can even tell them about Christ. When the missionaries Don and Carol Richardson saw the Peace Child ceremony, their hearts went out to the mother of that child. However, they could not intervene because they did not understand the significance of that event to the Sawi people and the opposing tribe. Now, let me tell you this. In the movie called The Peace Child, two different tribes of people were at odds, and one had food, and one of the other guys from the other tribe, and they had welcomed him in. He came over a couple times. Then the third or fourth time, this guy from the other culture, other tribe came over to visit whom he thought were his friends. While he was sitting down eating with them, they struck him in the head and killed him. And I can't tell you everything else they did to him and to his body, but that put them at odds. So the peace child is an act of the person who's the leader, tribal leader. They will hand over their baby, their son, to the opposing tribe as a peace. And that mother of the other tribal leader's wife will raise the other tribe's child as their own. But back to the story. However, God answered their prayers, the missionaries' prayers, and opened the door for them to connect with Esai, who was one of the Sawi leaders, about what he had done with his son as peace with what God had done by giving us his only and begotten son, Jesus Christ, a peace union that would never die. In this film, they eventually won everyone to Christ through Esai, the leader. And when they observed the Lord's Supper, they didn't use crackers and grape juice. They used cooked sago, which is indicative of the Sawi people. That's what they ate. That was their main dish, sago, S-E-I-G-O, and a tin can for communion in place of bread, wine, and a cup. They had to use what they had in their culture. The role of culture in gospel communication is important because culture affects how people respond to biblical principles. One of the most vivid examples of this comes from the movie Peace Child. When the missionaries, the Richardsons, had originally shared the gospel, it backfired on them because when the Sawi people heard the story of Judas, they thought of him as a hero because of his act of treachery, which was reflective of their culture's worldview. Their worldview culture, the Sawi people's worldview culture, looked at treachery as a sign of heroism. If you were treacherous, they praised you. But, you know, they did not understand that treachery was not of God. Culture, if allowed, dictates how people react to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the African-American culture, people generally respond to biblical principles emotionally, causing them to have a call and response with the minister who is bringing forth the word. However, as a result of globalization, technology, scholasticism, and our changing society, the African American culture, as well as other cultures or subcultures, is changing, and people's response is changing, making it harder for the preacher to convey the good news. You know, there are certain things that are indicative of our culture. Go to an African American church today, and you can, in most places, you hear the amen, preach, preacher. You know, those things kind of like, kind of help the preacher move along with the sermon and help to also encourage the preacher as well about the sermon. You know, so there's different things that happen as a result, but things are changing. Because culture affects how people respond to biblical principles, we must, like Jesus, be willing to plant the seed of change. It will not happen overnight, y'all. However, if that seed is planted, it can begin to effect a change in the culture's worldview over a period of time. In fact, Kraft wrote the following: the gospel is to be planted as a seed that will sprout within and be nourished by the rain and nutrients in the cultural soil of the receiving people. Understanding the principle of the sower and the reaper is essential in relating to spreading the gospel cross-culturally. We might not see the results immediately, but we must, in faith, pray and present the gospel to them in a way that it connects with them culturally. With time, the gospel can affect them positively. Change happens moderately, but we must keep the faith and remember God will bring the harvest and change. All we must do is be willing to sow the seed. Next, culture affects how people respond to biblical principles by creating an individuality versus community situation. When individuals within a culture begin to respond to the gospel, their response could possibly create a negative chain reaction. A prime example of this is a story which one of my fellow classmates courageously posted concerning his life-changing cross-cultural experience. He discussed the story of how his wife came to America from a different country, South America. Her family had sent her to take care of her irresponsible older sister, who had purchased a house in her name. They fell in love and became engaged. However, before they could get married, he had to make sure that the house was taken out of his fiance's name so it wouldn't affect their upcoming union. He explained to his wife biblical principles about her situation with the house, and she finally understood. When he tried to discuss the importance of her sister claiming responsibility for her own actions to his fiance's family, the family put his fiance in an awkward position. Even though the house situation was taken care of and they were finally married, her family still dislikes him to this day because of their daughter's sister did not uphold the family's cultural view. You see, third, culture affects how people respond to biblical principles because of the basic differences in beliefs and practices. As a result of this, it is important that we contextualize the gospel in a way in which a connection can be made. In other words, contextualize means make it relevant today. No, and contextualization, which was introduced in the New Testament, is the process that the apostles were involved in as they took the Christian message that come to them in the Aramaic language and culture and communicated it to those who spoke in Greek. So to contextualize is to communicate the message into the language of the culture of the people you are trying to share with. An example of this could be seen in trying to connect God's redemptive plan with other cultures who have a story similar to our story. For example, the Sawi people had the Peace Child story. The Damal had the high story. The Dani had the Nabilin Kabilin story. And the Asmat had the new birth story. Donald McGavran, who is the father of church growth, created and taught us how to employ tools from the social sciences to analyze culture and to use this analysis to develop penetrating strategies for both reaching both searchers and skeptics with the gospel of Christ. He had a great plan in place. However, seeds of syncretism were in the foundation of those same tools he employed. By definition, syncretism is the mixing of Christian assumptions with those worldview assumptions that are incompatible with Christianity, so that the result is not biblical Christianity. So we must be careful that we contextualize in a way that still maintains the integrity of the gospel we are trying to preach and communicate. In other words, for people who believe in witchcraft, but yet they believe in Jesus Christ, but yet they believe in practicing witchcraft, that goes against the Christian message. So syncretism is mixing up Christian beliefs, basic Christian beliefs, with other worldviews, assumptions. So it's not an authentic Christianity that we're preaching. It's something that's mixed with this belief, mixed with that belief, that go against what Christianity stands for. I hope you guys have been, I know tonight was kind of deep, you guys, so I appreciate you guys staying with me. I appreciate the Robert Wesley Branch. I appreciate you for staying with me tonight. I hope you guys understand what I'm saying. Basically this. It all comes down to this. And I'd say this. We got to realize that in order to reach people, we have to reach people where they are. But we have to understand where they are. We have to understand how our actions and everything in trying to communicate, either our actions are either bringing them closer and they're able to understand, or either we might be offending them. But I just want to tell you this, guys, as I conclude this, we have to adjust even our worldview of those who are culturally different from us. We cannot act superior. Pride destroys the bridge that we are trying to connect in introducing the gospel. We must always remember to serve and to seek ways to reach their culture, which would eventually make us more sensitive to their needs. Also, we must remember that God's view on culture, which is the only way we have to understand and remember God's view on culture, which is the only way that matters. You know, we cannot act like Jonah, who really did not want God to save the people of Nineveh, or like the early disciples who did not necessarily look up to Gentiles as people that should be reached. Like Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Therefore, we cannot be racist and prejudiced and try to reach people with the gospel message. Not going to work. But we must daily renew our minds and pray that God will give us a heart to reach his people, and pray that our worldview does not detract from the spreading of the gospel to people and of other cultures. I hope you guys are blessed by this word tonight. You know, I hope you guys will actively participate in reaching different people of other ethnicities and get to know them. And then from there, then present your faith and what you believe. But before we do that, we have to be sensitive to the role that culture plays in communicating the gospel message. I just want to say God bless you guys. I love you guys. Thank you for making this show a favorite of yours. And I'm going to leave you today with this song, and I hope you guys like this. This is my prayer by Therese Pinkney. I will see you guys tomorrow from 6 to 7. God bless. Thank you, Robert Wesley Branch from the Robert Wesley Branch Show. My other friends and people who have been listening, thank you for making this show a favorite of yours. God bless you, and I will see you tomorrow.
Father. This is my prayer. I get excited when I hear your name. Ooh, yeah.